Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. Good to see everybody out. This evening, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. We're just going to look at a few verses there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And tonight, we're just going to break these few verses down. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In this lesson tonight, we're just going to break these verses down. And, you know, most people just think you just show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and just be a good person. That's what's going to get you to heaven. And that's the wrong kind of thinking. And, you know, during the week, you know, they may think that during the week you can act how you want to and do whatever you want to. But that's the wrong kind of thinking. We can't just be a Christian when we want to, and expect to go to heaven. It's an everyday decision to do the will of God. It's an everyday decision that we must do the will of God. Now, let's break down the first verse there. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. There are some that's going to miss out. There are some that are going to miss out. Even the ones who say, Lord, Lord, will enter, and you know, just being a good person will not get us there. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can follow the steps of salvation, and even still miss heaven. And that's sad, but it happens. But so many want to just do enough to get by, and they think that that's good enough. But who is that good enough for? That's normally probably going to be us. But will it be good enough for God? The only problem with that way of thinking is who sets the standards? Is that our standards or is that God's standards? Well, God's standards are way higher than ours. we don't want to go by our standards. We go by God's standards. That's the only standards that we need to go by. We shouldn't want to be a mediocre Christian. We shouldn't want to be a mediocre Christian. We should want to go the extra mile and do what God calls us to do the way he wants us to do it. When we set the standards, we're going to wind up disappointed. We're going to wind up disappointed on the day of judgment. It's not going to be enough. In Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Luke 12, 8 and 9, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge me before the angels of God. In verse 9, but the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. We must exemplify God, the very best of every day in all aspects of life. It's a challenge every day to be Christ-like, and we know that. We know as Christians it's a challenge, but we must do this to be pleasing to God. Doing just enough to get by does not meet God's standards. That's something that we will answer for on the day of judgment. In John chapter 9, verse 31, John 9, verse 31, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. You know, that sounds pretty harsh. But if God's word says it, then we must believe it. If we are living in sin, God does not listen to us. If we are doing God's will and worshiping him, then he does listen to us. For our prayers to be heard, we must be right with God. We must realize that we all fall short, though. In Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect, but we strive for perfection. If we meet God's expectations, then heaven is what awaits us. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is always there when we fall. He's always there when we fall. He waits for us to turn back to him. He waits for that. God's will is much better than our will. He allowed his one and only son to be sacrificed so that we can have forgiveness of sins. Point number two this evening comes from verse 22 of Matthew 7. Pleading our case. You know, can we really imagine what the day of judgment will look like? Can we even imagine? Well, probably not. We probably can't imagine that. But we will find, we're going to find that there's more that we could have done. You know, we're going to find out that there's probably more that we could have done as a person, as a Christian. Most will be pleading their case, though. You know, they might be saying, look at all that I've done. I've done just good enough, you know, to get me to heaven. I've done good enough. Well, on the day of judgment, we're going to be without excuses. Why didn't we do certain things? And we could probably admit as Christians that there is more that we will do or we can do and that we don't. And we fall short of that many times. But all of our questions will be answered. You know, our destiny will be given to us. Yeah, it's going to even either be heaven or hell. And there's no doubt about that. There will be those who may not even know who God is, and that falls on us as well. There's a song we used to sing, "You never mention him to me. You never mention him to me." And I often think about that song sometimes. Are we mentioning God to people around us? Are we setting up Bible studies and things like that? But we need to be thinking about those things. Are we setting up Bible studies with anyone? Are we inviting others to church services? Are we doing the things that we need to do? You know, if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive others. We must forgive others. And I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to look at verses 15 through 21. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. And this is Joseph on the forgiveness of his brothers. Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" Verse 16, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Joseph had a good attitude of forgiveness. He could have been mad at the situation for a long time, but he understood that that's not the way that God wanted him to treat things. You know, he even asked there, basically, am I in place of God there? Am I in place of God? You know, he knew that he needed to forgive. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses." verse 15, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We must forgive others to be forgiven. Next thing I want, we must respect the value of forgiveness. We must respect the value of forgiveness. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Also, Matthew 18, verse 11 through 13. Matthew chapter 18, verses 11 through 13. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. We should be thankful for forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive someone who has wronged us, but we get mad sometimes and we harbor ill feelings toward that person, but it makes us not be the person that we need to be. Forgive, you know, I want us to think about forgive as God forgives by forgetting trespasses. That's easier said than done, too. Forgive as God forgives by forgetting trespasses. In Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. You know, there's a story of a man that he talked to God, and you know, the man was able to talk to God, and he was talking to God, but the friend wanted to know if as a test, he said, you know, tell him, let God tell me of my sins. What, you know, and his answer was, he forgot. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 18. Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 18. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Our duty as Christians is to do the will of God and stay on the straight and narrow path. But life isn't always sunshine and rainbows. We know that things happen in life that will change our path. But things arise in our life that we may think that we have no control over. Well, we do. We get to choose our direction. We get to choose the direction. But our next move, we get to choose that as well. But prayer is something that we need daily. Prayer is something that we need daily. As we make decisions, we need to pray on those decisions, that it might be the right decision to make. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Like I said, we only get one shot at life. We only get one shot, one chance. There are no do-overs. We need to make sure that we are living for God and doing his will. Third thing this evening, it comes from Matthew 7 and verse 23. Depart from me, I never knew you, you know, workers of lawlessness. You know, lawlessness is a state of order due to a disregard of the law. You know, it's not good to disregard God's law. His law is the only one that matters. If he says to do it, then we must do it. If he says not to do it, then we shouldn't do it. And that's just as plain as anything else. But just for instance, you know, the steps of salvation, these are things that we need to do. We must hear, we must believe, we must repent, we must confess, we must be baptized, and then we must live faithfully. These are the things commanded so we can become a child of God. And living faithfully is probably one of the hardest ones for everyone, because we all fall short, and we must keep our lives in step with God and make sure that we don't jump ahead of Him. We also were told to worship in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Many people do not enjoy worship, and there is a few reasons why. They might be late coming in, they might leave early, they got things going on that day, they may seem bored, and they may not participate. But God in worship, God is our audience, and we must give Him our very best. We must give Him what He deserves. And worship is a must. Worship is a must. There's no choice in breathing, if you want to live. Well, there's no choice in worshiping. That is, if you want to live spiritually. It is a must. Some say, well, I just don't get anything out of worship. Well, and that's a false concept of worship, because you probably aren't putting enough into it. You're probably not putting enough into it. God is the sole object of our worship. He is the sole object of our worship. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Matthew 4, verses 9 and 10. And He said to them, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship. And then, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Well, this closes the door on anything else. God is the only one we worship. There's the spiritual aspect of worship. Let's talk about that for a minute. The spiritual aspect of worship. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our worship comes from the heart. Our worship comes from the heart. Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Are we worshiping in spirit? As we sing songs, and there's just a few songs I mentioned here. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Do we sing that song yet never talk to the lost about Jesus? Another song that we may sing, more about Jesus would I know, but yet seldom study our Bibles. And then a third song that I could think of, like I said, all to Jesus I surrender. Are we giving Him everything? Are we giving God everything? We must prepare our hearts for worship. We need prayer, proper mindset. Those are the things that go into our worship. We must put our heart into our worship to God. All acts of worship must be carried out as God has commanded. Worship should be the highlight of our week. It should be the highlight of each week activities for the Christian. Coming to worship should be a top priority. It should be on one of our very first things that we want to do. Nothing should prevent us from worshiping acceptably. We don't want God to tell us, He never knew us and to depart. We don't want to hear those words. We need to meet God's standards. Our standards will not get us to heaven. Let's not be a mediocre Christian. Let's be the Christian that God calls us to be. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a child of God and you've walked away or whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.